So there's a classic scene in Monty Python where the guy's walking through the streets and he's repeating, bring out your dead.
Out your dead.
That's kind of where we're going today on Life Talks. Not Monty Python, of course, but I am Britt Nipper, Life Talks producer, sitting in once again with Pastor Ben Rudolph. So we're continuing the series of the hard sayings of Jesus, yeah. Things that Jesus said that were just kind of like, that doesn't make any sense.
I had someone that asked me about this saying of Jesus like last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so...
Well, what we're talking about is let the dead bury their dead. When one guy is like, hey, can I go back and bury...
Yeah, I want to follow you, Jesus, but I just let me bury my father. He's like, no. I mean, he just says, let the dead bury their own. It sounds really harsh.
Yeah.
It sounds very callous what Jesus is saying to this man. And so...
And it kind of takes us back to the hate your father and mother.
Man, if you think about how many of the hard sayings of Jesus we have gone over that relate to family... I really believe what that shows us is many times the greatest challenge for us to fully follow Jesus is a dedication more to our family than to God. And that sounds really weird because, you know, if we look at our culture, we would say, man, you know, family's falling apart and you know, we need more husbands and more wives and more children. You know, we need greater relationships. And I think that's true. But I think, you know, what this is speaking to, especially in a shame culture like this, is you didn't want to do anything to dishonor your family. You want to make sure that you were the right person or the type of person that never brought dishonor or shame to your family name, your family lineage. And so that was very important, what your parents thought of you, what your family thought of you, to get permission to do things. So culturally speaking, we understand that this was a big deal, and maybe not so much more today, but the reality is the same, that there may be a group of people that you care ultimately about what they think about you more than what God thinks about you.
Yeah, and families, I guess, could become an idol up to a certain
point.
Oh, absolutely. That if, you know, I'm not going to read my Bible this morning because I need to attend to my wife, or I need to do this with my kids, or I need to skip church to go do this event. Like, our family can become idols.
Yes, absolutely. Anything, you know, really anything can become an idol.
Yeah.
Your children become an idol. Your spouse can become an idol. Your job, you know, anything can be idols. And so, you know, if we're going to look at the context, this is a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 8. There's another parallel passage in Luke. Oh man, I'm forgetting the chapter in Luke. I think it might be Luke 9. But this is what it says in verse 18. It says, now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up to him and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. So when you read that, the first inclination is, man, Jesus doesn't really, like, I think at face value, you would think a guy wanting to bury his father is a really good idea first.
Yeah, everybody takes off work to do that now.
Right?
Like, you stop life to go...
Let me go bury my father.
Exactly.
Like, that's a reasonable request.
Yeah.
So couple things. We know, we have to first agree that number one, Jesus is never going to contradict the law, contradict the scriptures. So when the Bible says, honor your father and mother, he's not talking about dishonoring here. Most people believe that, okay, if this guy was really following Jesus during that day, because Jesus is traveling, he's walking, and it says that he's one of his disciples. That means at some level, this guy was following him. He was a part of the crowd at this point.
He should know what's going on.
He should know what's
going on.
But it also says that he's engaged. So if he's engaged, you know what that says to us? His father's alive, okay? His father's not dead. At this moment when Jesus says, hey, I want you to follow me at a deeper level, at a more consistent level, from crowd to truly disciple, he might be thinking, well, my father's getting old. You know, I've got to make sure that I have the responsibility to go lead my family through the process when he dies. But if his father was already dead, he would not even be close to Jesus. Because when you are mourning, where are you? I mean, we have instances where people have died in the Gospels Think about Mary and Martha.
Yeah.
Right? Lazarus. Think about Jairus' daughter. There's a number of things where people, when someone has died, they are in the house. There's official mourning process that you do. If his father was dead, he would not be hanging out with Jesus in the crowd.
That's so interesting to hear from you.
Yeah.
So basically you're saying this guy's father could live another 5 years, 10 years, who knows?
Maybe he may be close to death.
Maybe there's a
sense of he doesn't have much more,
yeah.
He doesn't have longer to live.
Yeah.
But you know, last few years, I just want to be, you know, with him.
That's interesting.
So that's the thing. As I studied this, it was kind of like people were like, if his father had just died, he would not be around Jesus. Because in the culture, when your family dies, there's a house of mourning that you go. There's professional mourners that would come and weep, and there's this whole process. And so even in the burial thing takes time. It's, not everyone had a tomb to put their bodies in. So sometimes, do you remember, this was probably 10 years ago, they found this, was it ossuary box that had the James on, James, the brother of Jesus or something like that? This is like 10, 15
That's
years
familiar.
Ago. National Geographic did a big story on it. But an ossuary box was very prominent in the first century Jewish culture, which was if you didn't have a burial tomb, what they would do is let your body decay, so just have the bones, and then you'd put the bones in this giant box or this box of some kind. And sometimes that would take a year. The burial process, if you did it that way, would take up to a year. So whether or not this guy's father is alive, maybe he's close to death, maybe he's talking about a burial process that would take up to a year. The whole point is this guy is saying, I would love to take the next step, but I've got other priorities I got to think about.
Yeah.
I could have a couple years to do this, and I just can't commit to you.
It's not like Jesus, the funeral's at 2:30. Yeah. I'll catch up with you right after. That's what it feels like when you read it at face value.
When we read this, we think, oh man, he's just saying, it's almost like he runs up and says, Jesus, I want to follow you, but I've got to, no. You forget that funeral. You come follow me. That's not what he's talking about here.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the context, we have to, again, bring ourselves into the context, in the culture of what's going on. So chances of this man's father being dead in this moment is very rare. It would just almost be unheard of that if this man's father was truly dead, that he would be out hanging out with Jesus.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be. So that's the first thing that we have to recognize. So what is the issue here? The issue that Jesus is confronting, I think the second question is, what does it mean when Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead? He's using an analogy to say this: let the spiritually dead bury the dead, the dead bodies. The whole idea is, I'm drawing a line between who is a true disciple of mine or not.
Yeah.
And Jesus is always doing this. Again, there's a crowd. We see this, some of the hardest sayings of Jesus that we've gone over is when he has the biggest crowds. And he just loves to thin crowds out. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. He waits till the true.
I mean, Jesus is the type of person that he's the type of leader that, and again, this kind of goes against our natural inclination of leadership today. And even as pastors and church leaders, we are always celebrating more people coming into the building on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I just get this feeling that if Jesus hit these attendance markers, I think he'd probably give a couple, sermons where people are like, what? He's like, there's just too much, mediocrity here. There's too much casualness. I want people here who are true disciples. That's what Jesus cared about most. And so I think that when he does this, he's doing this to confront the people who are there just to, maybe they haven't really considered, like that one guy says, teacher, I'll follow you wherever you want to go. And he said, what does he say? Hey, listen, even the smallest animals have a little hole in the ground. I don't know. If you follow me, I cannot guarantee where you're going to spend the night.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee what's going to happen to you. That to follow me is a life where there is no guarantee of comfort at all. I want you to understand that. I think the other thing that when Jesus says that, again, as I was reading this and studying this, how does the scribe address him? Teacher. Now, again, teacher is a term of authority. But if you look prior in the same chapter, you have the centurion, and I mentioned this in another podcast, the centurion comes forward and appeals to Jesus. And how does he address Jesus? He says, Lord.
Big difference.
I think there's a difference between seeing Jesus as teacher and as rabbi and Jesus as Kurios, as Lord. There is a deeper commitment to a Lord than to rabbi.
Well, I think a lot of people get lost in that too, because people say that Jesus did exist, but a lot of them acknowledge he was just a really good teacher.
Yeah, they love his teaching. He's a really good teacher. Yeah. And so this is a scribe. This is someone who is a professional person of the scriptures, and that's what his job was. And he obviously enjoyed what Jesus was teaching, and he liked what Jesus was teaching. But to say, okay, if you're going to follow me, this is a commitment not just of learning from me, this is a commitment of lordship for you. That will you follow me no matter where I go, no matter what happens to you? And so it was a test. Did this guy? I mean, we don't know what each of these guys did. We don't know if these guys truly, you know, if this scribe truly followed Jesus. We don't know if this person. I said, okay, I'm not going to do it. The Bible doesn't tell us.
You'd probably lean toward maybe not, though.
Possibly not.
Just because Jesus was getting to the heart of what their main issue was.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the rich young ruler, you know?
And what we do have is we have in as a record, when Jesus calls James and John, who are working with their father, Zebedee, he says, when he called, he says, you know, they immediately left their nets and their father, and they followed Jesus. That's a counting the cost. That is letting the dead bury their own dead. It's again, it's not minimizing, it's not dishonoring to the parents. It's just saying there's a deeper commitment and a deeper mission that I have in life. And it's not to be a fisherman.
Yeah.
It's to be a fisher of men. And Jesus wants all of us to come to that point where we are counting the cost, where we're saying, Jesus, I'm not going to just follow you when it's convenient. I'm not just going to look at you as someone I can learn from. I'm not just going to follow. I'm not going to say all these conditions have to be right in order for me to follow you.
Yeah.
I'm willing to follow you no matter what people say, no matter what people think, no matter where you go, no matter what you do with me. I'm following you. And that is what Jesus is doing.
Yeah. Let me ask, as a father yourself, in that scenario that you just talked about, dropping your nets and immediately following mm-hmm. Jesus, leaving their father. As a father yourself, mm-hmm. wouldn't you be insanely proud about that?
Absolutely.
There would be a sadness because my children have gone, but to know that they have, quote, hated their family because they love Jesus so much that they stepped away from the family to follow him and pursue everything he wants in his will.
Yeah.
That should bring so much pride to a godly father. Now, I could see if there was a father who wasn't godly and he had children who were and they took that same step, I could understand how there could be some animosity and anger and a breaking apart of a family.
And that makes complete sense, Britt. But I think to a person, most parents, most moms and dads, if they heard this, would be like, son, daughter, you know, we want you to do whatever God wants. But let's just play this out. Let's say Gavin comes to you one day and says, Dad, God's calling me to be a church planter in the Middle East, in Jordan, which means you're going to see me probably once every 2 to 3 years for a couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
Now, how would you, this is where the rubber meets the road.
Well, first of all, we're going to make darn sure God's talking to you. We are going to do a lot of planting and mentoring.
So I think that, you know, all of us have these ideas of this nebulous ideas of, of course, if Jesus called my son or my daughter to do something for him, I would love that. Yeah. But then all of a sudden it's...
What if he does?
What if he calls your son and daughter to leave your hometown?
Yeah.
What if he calls them to move overseas? What if he calls them to move into a part of the city that's really dangerous? I have seen and heard of more parents squelching the vision that God has planted in young people than anything else. One of the greatest dangers to people going into full-time ministry, whether it's missions or pastoral ministry, are Christian parents. I have seen it. I have heard it. I have talked with people that have told me that. And so I'm glad you brought this up, because this is not just a passage for the child. This is not just a passage for individuals. This is a passage for the parents. This is a passage for the dad who says, son, someone else can bury me. Hmm. You follow Jesus.
Hmm. Yeah.
And it's a true test of our commitment, of our loyalty, of our discipleship, of saying, I'm not going to let anything come in the way of my children following Jesus. Even my expectations, even my hopes and dreams. We all have hopes and dreams for our children. And if those hopes and dreams that we have differ from God's hopes and dreams for our children, we have to be willing to lay those down.
And this comes back to something I've always said. You have to make these decisions before you have to make these decisions.
Mm,
and what I mean by that is you have to know ahead of time. You know, you have a kid that's 5 or 6 years old. You need to know then and pray then and prepare then. God, let me be okay if you take my child away from me go travel around the world. So that when they come to you at 23 or 4 out of college and say, I need to go to Jordan, as you said, you already have the answer.
That's right.
You're already prepared to do it.
Yes.
And I did that when I was in high school and I would go out to parties or whatever. I made that decision beforehand. There are certain things I'm just not going to do.
That's right.
I made the decision before I got there. That way I didn't have to make the choice once peer pressure hit and once other things hit.
So I'm not crossing that line.
Exactly. So draw those lines now so that you know how to draw them, that they're there later when you finally get around to it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, you know, let me just say this. I know we're almost done, but Dan and I have recorded like 5 episodes without being with each other.
Yes.
We still love each other very much. We still get along incredibly well. I was sick.
Yes.
And then Dan's been sick. Yes. So if you're listening these last few weeks, you're like, what is going on? Where there's first I get Dan, then I get Ben. I just sometimes we have to update people that.
Yes. I do forget occasionally how long it has been of a span of, because like you said, about 5 or 6. So the band is not broken up.
The band is still together. Yes. Dan just isn't feeling well.
Yeah. So hopefully next week, next leap week, you guys will be back together.
We should be back. We'll both of us should be back in the saddle again.
Yeah. But we wanted, I get plugged in when one of the two are out just so we can bring some new content to you so that we're not just throwing some reruns out or something like that. So I appreciate every time that I do get to step in.
Amen. And we, all of us love doing this, but we all love doing it when we're all together. So
Yes. And I enjoy sitting in the room before we start recording with Ben and Dan.
It's always show a good, before the show.
It's always a good conversation. So I enjoyed this conversation. I especially enjoyed the perspective of his father not being dead. That was an interesting thought behind that, and his desire to hold on, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wait, you wait on my time.
Yeah, my time.
My time, not your time. Yeah. Wait on my time. Mm-hmm. So, again, this is just a great reminder to you to follow Jesus with everything that you are, with your whole being, and let the rest of the world be shut out and just keep your focus 100% on Him,
amen,
what His plans are and what His will is for your life.
That's good.
Thank you for listening once again to Life Talks. We'll catch you next time. You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.